which are high premium and market which have clear-cut entry barrier. Like for setting up a retail network which takes care of 1/4 of our revenue, it took us more than a decade. Set up 580 plus retail stores and 4,000 plus points in this country. Similarly, US sale that you see today, number, it took us around 1.5 decades, not just to crack, but to establish as a consistent supply in the US market. And of course, the EPC business only works on PQ. If you have done a gigawatt worth of contract, then only qualify for a 2 gigawatt single location contract, which we have been doing for our customers all across. So these three tough markets, very typical market to penetrate, are the core markets that Waaree operate out of. Balance 30-35%, you rightly said, is a market where price really matters. But good part that our order book currently covers up that particular market for next 12 to 18 months of time. So not much to worry. And as we have announced recent acquisitions, more products which are coming to market like inverters, transmission distribution was announced a quarter back, and there are small projects like transformers was also announced, T&D was announced. So all these products will also come up at scale in coming years, which will further diversify our revenue profile, our revenue strategy, and our distribution channels as well. I hope I'm able to clarify.
Understood. Fair enough, fair enough. Thank you. Those were my questions.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kuntal Shah from Oakland Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for this opportunity and taking my call. So I just wanted to reiterate that the 10% concessional duty applicable for cells sourced from neutral jurisdiction is applicable for CAS and CVD also, and not only reciprocal alone, right? That is very clear. That current AD and CVD are also mandating the same, and that the current order book which you have won't be impacted in lieu of that.
Yeah, so just, first of all, you're absolutely right. However, just let me clarify what you have just stated, you know. 10% concessional duty, we're not talking about any concessions here. We're talking about what is the duty structure applicable in various countries, right? What we try to do is we go to a jurisdiction which has low tariff rates, low duty rates. So there's no concession here, right? India, till last year, we were around that 50%. Now we have gone up to 126%. So this duty will be applicable to any production of cell in India. And from there on, if we make a module and export to US, which obviously we will not do and we have not been doing it, we continue to look at jurisdictions which will have lower tariffs. It could range between 10 to 15%. And we will optimize our sourcing from these regions. This is one part. The second part of sourcing also takes into account, you know, the traceability. The third part of sourcing will take into account FEOC that we said. So we have to source in U.S., for U.S. market, all the compliant raw materials. Yeah? So that's the basic philosophy. So yes, for now, not impacted.
Okay, and in light of this, is there a rethink on the CapEx plan you had on the cells and the downstream backward integration? Any change in the CapEx plans you have announced because of this?
No, we have not announced any change in CapEx plan for this. I mean, Abhishek elaborated about our U.S. expansion, and that's what we're looking at.
No, you have plans for Indian cell manufacturing?
No, India continues on track. We have not announced any change.
Okay. Okay, and in terms of your alternate supply chain, which you are thinking of, there are no AD or CVD investigations pending from those jurisdictions. It's very clear. Okay, they are good to go for your current order book.
Yes.
Okay, thanks for the answer.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address all the query from the participant, we request you to kindly limit the question to 2 questions per participant. If you have follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Our next question comes from the line of Varun, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Abhishek and Sonal, for clarifying in so explicitly. Two connected questions. One, U.S. solar demand. I think, Abhishek, you said 70, 80 gigawatts. Can you just give us what could be the whole pipeline of U.S. demand on an annual basis, AC/DC, given what's happening related to electricity demand, data centers and all? And at what price do you think that solar module can be imported and it's viable for an IPP or a data center to really take it? In the initial 3-4 years back, the prices had gone up to even north of 35 cents or 40 cents. So if you could just explain the demand and pricing outlook of US for next 1 to 3 years.
Sure. So if you look at the US demand and the ground installation number this year, the numbers have been mind-boggling. The current data of pipeline that we have and the pipeline that we chase ranges around 70, 80 gigawatts of module demand every year. However, US orders come in a chunky way wherein the customer forecast outlook for next 2-3 years, and hence the pipeline is much larger than this annual expected demand in the US, number one. So probably this 70, 80 gigawatts of overall consumption every year leads to a demand outlook of 180 to 200 gigawatt over next 2-3 years of time in US. Number two, the price. Historically, if you see, the price for US markets has been in the range of 30-35 cents. In fact, in the start of 2023 and 2024, the prices continued to be in this range. Before the disruptions came in and there are multiple restrictions started coming in, it went up to 35-37 cents in mid-2024. But with further technology improvements, TOPCon coming in as the main lead products, and reduction in the overall metal component in the product, especially silver, etc., the overall cost of panel for US markets declined from 35-37 cents to the range of 23 to 24 cents. On FOB basis, on delivered basis, around 27 to 28 cents in the US shores. If you look at the current order book that we are servicing, all of those orders have been secured and the delivery has to happen 2 to 3 years back, which effectively means the entire order book of Wali was designed, financial closure was done at least 2 to 3 years back by the customers, when the price range for these clients was in the range of 35 to 38 cents. So assuming even if the price in US goes up to the extent of 35, 38 cents, nothing changes even for the developer community. While today we are in the range of 31, 32 cents, we still have a great leg space in US market, even if there is an impact on price because of shorting supply chain sources for US markets. So I think as long as the assumption of 35, 38 cents hold for our existing order book, I think nothing changes even for our clients. However, currently the price is in the range of 30-31 cents. We have a great leg space even for the further price impact in the US, which will not impact at all the economies for the developers.
No, that's very well explained, Abhishek. Thank you. Just one more clarification. How is India really positioned to export now that the tariff and non-tariff barriers are clear? Earlier, I think India's market share used to be high single digit or 10% odd in total US imports. So how do we assess where India's position is going to be when the demand is so strong and there are so many regulatory changes happening?
So to understand this, first we need to look at the US demand and supply dynamics. So as I said, that demand outlook in US looks to be in the range of 70, 80 gigawatts. Against it, how much is the supply chain which is available within the US markets? From module perspective, there is around 50 gigawatt worth of market and manufacturing capacities which are available. But unfortunately, there are not many cell capacities and wafer capacities in US. Effectively, what it means that US continue to import cell from the alternate markets. At the same point in time, when the ingot and wafer manufacturing startup in India, so what can really happen, for instance, that we continue to buy polysilicon from FEOC compliant markets in Oman, We continue to manufacture ingot and wafer very well in India because these have never been a part of any sort of investigations or duties, etc. So polysilicon secured, ingots and wafer with the upcoming facility very much secured and at large scale of 10 gigawatt capacity that we can do in India. And then cell manufacturing can either happen in the US through the ties or can happen in those markets where we are buying cells currently from. And then everything can happen, the balance of the module assembling can happen either in US or in India. We have already done this supply chain sourcing strategy, by the way, and it means that the entire 25 gigawatt plus worth of existing order book is very well planned, and we are really trying to even look at alternate markets to further expand our supply chain to offtake larger order book going ahead as well.
Perfect, perfect. Just quickly on this follow-up, is there any other country which is equally positioned as India in terms of capacities or customer relationships post these tariff, non-tariff barriers, which can supply such large amounts to US?
Actually, US in last few years has already carved out China from the supply chain sourcing. It has also carved out four countries of Southeast, which is Cambodia, Malaysia, Vietnam, Thailand 2 years back. Now with the recent duties, few more countries are out, and more than that, more than duty, what is important in US is not duty. Rather, more important is the FUC compliance, which is your foreign entity of concern, which means that any supply chain component of the panel which are consumed in US should not be supplied from a company, even at the polysilicon level, wherein the Chinese holding is beyond 30%. So with this law, whatever be the tariff rates, effectively you can't use Chinese products at all in US markets. So apart from China, the largest capacity resides in India. If you look at the current capacity in India of module 100 gigawatt plus cell, currently 25-30 gigawatts, probably going up to 50-60 gigawatts over next 2-3 years of time. And of course, the wafer capacity over next 4-5 years of time can build up 30-40 gigawatts. So I think India remains the only possible solution as of now, at least, as far as we can see for the US markets.
Very clear. Thank you so much. I'll get back in queue.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Amit Mahawar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just need one data point if you can share and help. In the current order book and in the deliveries in the next 2 years, 26-27, what is the broad breakup of order book from India for India? Order book and shipments from India to US and local US to US. Broadly, if you can help us understand this in the next 1 to 2 years.
If you even consider the current year's revenue mix also, you would see that our overseas revenue is, as I mentioned earlier in the call also, is around 1/3 of the total volume that we do. So you can expect similar range of continued supply. Even our order book placed is also placed in such a way that from the outlook, it seems that it is an export-heavy order book, 50-60%, fine. But then the timeline to cater this order book is not 1 year. This is around 3 to 4 years of time. So on a revenue conversion basis, the overall overseas revenue generally comes around 30-35%, which is the number this year. We could see even the last year also, the number was below 30%. So that market continued to be in this range.
Just clarification, I can assume in FY27 also, in this 1/3 overseas revenue, all of it is, from India to US, or any percentage you want to give from US to US?
Difficult to give any percentage considering a forward-looking statement, but what I can tell you is our capacity in US is building up and ramping up every passing quarters. And we would really want to supply from those markets where we make more money. We have both solution, by the way. We can continue to supply more from US markets. We can have a fair mix. But it all depends on the time at which we speak and the margins that we make in those quarters. So that strategy is always agile.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Karan Sawal from Nivas Share. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I wanted to understand, like, when will this polysilicon facility in Oman will be operational, and when are we expected to start sourcing? Would it be before the FEOC kicks in significantly, or how are the timelines, please?
FEOC is already kicking in. In fact, it is tightening every passing quarter, not year. It means every passing quarter, the tightening of FEOC will lead the FEOC material continue to become a better currency. So as far as the Omani polysilicon is concerned, the factory is already at the pilot stage and pilot production is already ongoing. Commercial production generally takes 2 to 3 months of time for such kind of capacity.
Understood. Any update on the ongoing investigations against us regarding the Chinese usage of Chinese help for the U.S. exports?
So I think as I did clarify, these kind of discussion investigation generally take 6 to 12 months of time, and we continue to cooperate with the government and continue to supply the information. However, proactively basis the discussions and advice of our council, we have already done provision in the last quarter itself on the potential financial impacts.
Understood. One last question. We highlighted that we did maybe a top line of around 2,000 crore and 300 megawatt of sales volume from the U.S. plant in the last con call. So are we maintaining the run rate, or is there any improvement in the sales?
So as the new capacity keep coming up, I think the manufacturing in the U.S. is bound to increase from the numbers that we have seen in the previous quarters.
And thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the time constraint, we'll take the last question from Amit Teje from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, sir, for taking my question. I just had a few basic questions since I joined the call at the later stage. So earlier, when circumventing duties were imposed on Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, and Malaysia, we specified that we were sourcing ourselves from Indonesia and Ethiopia for our U.S. exports. Now that even Indonesia has been, hit with the circumventing duties, first I wanted to ask for that, how much was Indonesia's share, if you can disclose or give a rough ballpark figure in our total cell procurement, and which other countries are now we are looking at, or we have supplier relationships already set up for procurement of cells for our U.S. exports. Thank you.
So we generally don't give the percentage of cell procurement from which country, how much percentage is secured. But one thing that I can tell you is that over past, when the South Asian supply chain was affected with the U.S. regulations, we were, quick enough in a quarter's time to start sourcing from alternate markets and continued our exports. Even when there were few countries which got again affected by the U.S. tariffs, we flipped and we added up more geographies to our supply chain. And this, as a process, continues going ahead also. I think there are more capacities expected in the Middle East markets and African markets. I think that gives a clear lead indicator. There are more markets which are coming up with more supply chains solution for the U.S. markets.
Yes, I'm got it, sir. Thank you. That was my question. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, team.
So I hope we were able to address some of the questions around the tariff, and we'll continue to do so. We can reach out to our IR team for any further questions if you have any. But I just want to reiterate that obviously being in a global supply chain company, we have to be very mindful of our global supply chain. So we continue to develop alternative supply chain, continue to monitor the new upcoming regulations, and also see what kind of alternatives we can go through, either through developing a supply chain or investments. So in that particular manner, Wadi remains flexible, and U.S. remains a main market for us, a base market for us. We will continue to develop that as we go forward. Thank you.
Yeah, hi, Thank you, ma'am. Amit here. Thank you very much to all the investors to be present in this conference call with such numbers. We really appreciate the interest. Also, like Sonal said, we would like to reiterate, number one, U.S. is an extremely important market for us. We are invested in it. We constantly observe all the regulatory changes that happen in that marketplace. The current announcement, I would like to reiterate, has no material impact on our operations in India or in the U.S., and that's because of our diversified supply chain, number one. And number two, our strong manufacturing presence in the U.S., which is only going to grow. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And we look forward to interacting with you in the near future as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Wadi Energies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.